Todd.
Yes, sir.
Here's our deal. This is the first time we've actually been in a position to review something that could land in spoiler territory. Because we've never been this quick, right?
Okay, right? We're creating expectations, is that what you're telling me?
Well, I just want to make sure here that we are not... we've got to do our part, right? Our duty to our audience is to fairly review things for their kids, right?
Right.
But because, and of course, I'll just get right to it, we are reviewing Avengers Infinity War.
Correct.
And Infinity War, sorry, just to get my mouth going here this morning. And we're so on it, like you and I are so on it, that we're actually in spoiler zone for a lot of our listening audience because they have kids, right?
Right, right.
Majority of them are going to be stuck at home. They can't really get to the Avengers. They'll try to get there when they can, right? According to the internet, everybody made it. But how on parenting mistakes do we work out spoilers? How are we not going to spoil this thing? We've got an issue ahead of us. How are we going to work this out? What are our rules? What are our parameters?
Well, you're talking about parenting just in general.
Yes.
There are no guidelines. There are no rules. How are we going to do this ahead?
Yes.
When we haven't done this before.
Right.
You're describing parenting. You're describing every phase of parenting. I don't know what to do.
That is such a great non-answer. I love it.
Thank you. But it's the truth.
Yeah. It's not the truth.
What you're going to do is you're going to turn to the older, wiser, more experienced parent.
Oh, I like how you fixed that. That's nice. Not the elder parent?
No, not the elder parent.
Okay. Yes. Well, of course I turn to you because you've been down this road so many times. So I guess all I'm saying is, are we just gonna do spoilers? I don't know if we can review this for parents and not kind of get into the spoilerish territory.
I am confident in our ability to carefully phrase. How about that?
Okay. And I guess we could give them our feelings and impressions.
Yes. And again, you have to also get into a realm of saying, look, if you really don't want spoilers.
So here it comes. Here's our spoiler, official Parenting Mistakes spoiler warning right here.
Well, yeah. We are going to do our best to avoid spoilers.
But I will say this. Here, let's nail it on the head. But if you're going to take your kids, please listen to this review.
Well, sure.
Right,
but we're going to do our best to avoid spoilers, but there are certain things we're going to tell you. So if you want zero spoilers, zero, then as much as you love us and we love you, our listening audience, you should stop.
Yes. So I'm trying to think here. So you just froze up. Okay, there you go. Oh, for a second there, I thought I lost you back. Lost my train of thought.
The internet took us seriously, and it just turned us off.
It did. It was not pleased because it wants your money.
That's right.
Somehow everybody's benefiting from this movie. And I think small countries are being purchased by the amount of money that this movie made. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I was telling my wife last night, I think we'll be the generation that actually sees the billion-dollar mark.
Sure.
Right? The billion-dollar movie is going to be seen, I don't know, in the next 10 years or whatever. Okay. So let me paint you a story. And to reiterate one more time, if you are going to take your kids, please listen to this review.
Yes.
Spoilers or not. So let me paint you a picture. Every big Marvel tentpole event, my wife and I have done this thing which we call Marvel Madness, where we invite close to like 22 of our very close friends to a very nice restaurant. We rent out a room and we do this massive trivia game show contest in which we all get very hyped for the movie, right? For me, it takes the sting out of that anticipation. As Todd would know, probably about the time that we saw the 90s Batman, the original Batman, that was probably the first movie I remember going, I can't wait. I just can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait, right? Like, I'd really kind of come into my movie self. And I started, like, looking years ahead at films, right? So I just started getting excited about things. Like, I remember reading about Batman 2 years way before its release. Well, similar here, but what this little event does, it gives me something to do as I wait for the next big Marvel tentpole event. My event, for all intents and purposes, went off awesomely. It was an amazing event. Everybody had a wonderful time. Whoop, 2 hours of just whoop, whoop, and we're doing crazy things like smashing grapes and building Stark Towers with cards, you name it. We're doing all sorts of crazy things. We're just super excited. We walk down to the Cinerama, and we see this movie. Oh, no. So let's be clear. This is part one, right? Part one. Yeah, like a real emphasis. I think they took the part one out of it because people would really have to go part one.
Yeah, which I think that there's our first spoiler, semi-spoiler. Yes. I had to tell my wife that because she was unaware. And I think a lot of people are unaware that because it really wasn't advertised that way.
No, it wasn't. In fact, people are actually – this is the first time I've actually seen post-trailer analysis. And they're basically calling the trailer a massive Rickroll because the trailer has things in it that never appear in the movie. The trailer actually advertises a different film.
Well, but that always happens.
But not quite to this extent. I mean, quite frankly, there's a whole subplot involving Bruce Banner that is advertised in the trailer that never happens in the movie. Okay. It just doesn't happen.
So, my experience was a little different. I did go see the movie, and that was it. No pre.
Right. Well, I tried to get you to come. You'd have to fly.
Yeah.
People did actually fly to my event. Just saying.
Tom. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Just to remind our audience, I live in Los Angeles, and Dave lives in Seattle, and so me stopping by his party is theoretically possible, but
very close to the airport.
Yeah. I could get his flight to Seattle pretty easily. Right. But
we could find a place for him to stay.
And I'm in a position of life where I could have waited. I could have waited, a couple of weeks and just let the crowds die down and go see it on a Tuesday night when I can just walk into the theater and sit in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. As elder parents.
Yes.
As an elder parent would.
But for the sake of my children, who were excited and wanted to see it opening weekend, we got seats. And I don't know, do you have assigned seats in Seattle area? Do you have theaters with assigned seats like an airplane?
Absolutely. Love it.
Yeah,
yes.
Love it. So we couldn't get them all together. So that's the nice thing about having older kids. So we had two seats that were together. And then we had two others that were single seats.
I'm looking forward to different theaters.
Part of the airplane.
Yeah, that's right. When theaters have first class and coach. Yeah. You almost beat me. That's right.
Yeah. So we went and saw it as a family, except for my oldest daughter who's in college. And I don't know if she saw it this weekend. I'll have to ask her. I would guess that she probably did. Yeah. We should make a quick note here. And this isn't a grumpy parent thing as much, but I have said to the young people that they have it so much easier nowadays seeing movies opening weekend from a logistical standpoint.
I guess really? Other than we got assigned seats now.
Buying tickets online.
Oh, okay. Good point.
Number of showings.
Yeah, that long line out of Cinerama, that's gone.
Yeah.
Right? No. I showed up at 4 in the morning. Oh, the waiting for Star Wars line.
Oh, yeah. There would have been people waiting in line for a week for this movie.
Oh, I think waiting for Star Wars, those guys waited for 3 months over a summer.
Yeah. They had a website and
everything else where they were waiting outside to purchase tickets to be first in line.
Yeah. And they still didn't get, assigned seats. So it's a lot easier than it. Now you just literally walk in 5 minutes before the movie and walk right to your seat.
Yep.
Okay. So let's go back to the part where I comfort you for your emotional distress.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's get into it. Thanos is here. Thanos attacks.
Yes.
So I'll tell you another story. How many movies have we been waiting? 18 movies. So 10 years of anticipation for this moment. I think, and literally, quite literally, I was on the edge of my seat for the first 45 minutes of that movie. Because I was just scared for everybody. I knew we were going to go big. I didn't know how big we were going to go. But I had no idea, not a clue as to what was going to happen. And the way that they did it right off the bat, I mean, one of the most brilliant things, and I'll get right into spoiler territory, and it's not too spoilerish, but one of the brilliant things they did at the beginning of the movie was they eliminated the Hulk. The Hulk and Thanos have a fight, like, literally the first 10 minutes of the film, and Hulk is whooped. Like, it just demonstrates right off the bat, this is not that movie where the Hulk shows up and just cleans up. Right? This is the one where, I mean, it sets the tone. We're going to lose, and we're going to lose big.
Okay. Yes.
Right? And our most powerful weapon, we have a Hulk, they even quote it, and we have a Hulk. No, you don't. And the Hulk remains in Bruce Banner for the rest of the movie, frightened. He's scared.
You're just jumping right into spoiler alert here.
Well, it sets the tone for the entire film without really getting into all the craziness. If I just follow Bruce Banner's track, it demonstrates how everybody in the audience is going to be. You come into the theater thinking, oh, it's the Hulk moment, right? I'm going to Hulk this movie. I'm going to gobble it up. I'm going to chew every scene. And they tell you right off the bat, nope. Take that inner Hulk, put it in there, and be frightened and in the corner. Go fetal now.
Okay.
You're going to be – it's not the movie you thought you were going to come see.
Okay. So I had a – well, you'll probably not like this. I don't know if you'll like this or not.
Oh, no. Let's go. I mean, so you – okay. Thanos is here. Go ahead.
Let me tell you what I did before I watched the movie. And I did the same thing with – I've done this for the last couple of movies, and I'm not sure why I've started doing this, but – I went online, and I went on Wikipedia, and I read the entire plot of the film.
What?
I read the entire plot of the film.
Wow. Okay.
And for whatever reason, I'm okay with that. I read the whole plot. I knew what was coming. And I still really enjoyed the film. And I did that with Last Jedi. I did that with Force Awakens.
Well, and you also – no, you didn't do it. Well, we saw Back to the Future back to back.
Well, yeah. We couldn't do it back in the day. There was no doing this. There was no Wikipedia.
Well, I thought you were going to say what the other classic nerds are doing, which is I watched all 18 films. You won't believe
what
I did.
That's right.
You truly are a nerd, and you went ahead and just read the whole thing.
I read the plot. Well, because – and you know this. The moment someone sees this film on – well, the official day was Friday, but there were showings Thursday night. The moment someone gets out of the film, they go online and they type up the plot and they put it on the website.
Yep.
So it's there. So you can read it. And I read it. So I kind of knew what was coming.
You kind of knew? Like, you just knew.
Well, I read it really fast, so yeah. I didn't write it. I didn't say I'm going to memorize every moment. Cause,
you didn't peruse it. What is this?
Well, I did what I would I categorize as power skimming.
Okay. Well, so, there you go. Never heard that one before. Hopefully people aren't doing that with your book. Just saying.
Well, I mean, I have students reading it, so they probably are. But
power skimming right now.
Okay, so we're going to – in a second, we'll get to our grumpy old man section where we talk about the appropriateness of this movie and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But let me just give you my take on the film just in general without really talking about the plot.
Yes.
What I did like about this movie, and this is where we could get into some interesting discussions about moral themes, is that in a lot of action-type movies – the bad guy is very simple.
Yep.
As in, we're just told, here's the bad guy. He's angry. He wants to break stuff. And we aren't really told why. He just is evil. And I think about Justice League, if you want to compare.
Steppenwolf.
Justice League, the I find the villain in Justice League really uncompelling, if
sure.
that's a word.
He's just a CGI monster coming to beat up on our heroes.
He's just a CGI monster that just wants to destroy everything, and with very, very little explanation. It just sort of says, hey, look, kids, bad guy. Be afraid. Thanos is complicated, and I would even say philosophical.
Oh, yeah,
what
absolutely.
He's doing.
He's brilliant.
Yeah. Very methodical in what he's doing. Very – and almost – and I don't know how you feel about this, but they almost paint him in almost a sympathetic character in a couple of moments.
Sure. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I don't totally see that, but yeah, I understand what they're trying to go for.
Well, he's conflicted.
Yeah.
He has moments of conflict where he's grappling with what he's doing. He has a plan. He has a definitive plan, and, you know, we'll just leave it at that, what the plan is and how he's going to execute it. But he is a – and again, we're talking about a alien universe, but he's almost a very human character.
Yeah.
Where – and it's interesting, too, I find, that in a couple of moments of the movie, it's not like he's – selling something, but he does talk to a couple of people and sort of say, hey, you've got to understand what I'm doing here. You should see the value of what I'm doing here. It's not just I'm going to do stuff and not really talk to people. He actually is trying to explain it along the way.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
To a couple of the characters.
I mean, it would be a little more interesting if his troop, his entourage was not a little less evil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you've got a group of guys around here that are just horrible. If they're a little less horrible, I'd be a little more happy, right?
Right.
But he's got his evil henchmen with him, right?
Right. His sidekicks are much more of the standard focused, you're in my way, I'm going to end you.
Right.
Type characters.
And it would have been interesting if, like, at least one of them was more like of an angelic figure, right? Like,
right.
I've just got my whole act together, and I'm on board with the Thanos show to give Thanos a little more credence. That's a little criticism I have, but
so I'll give that as a not spoiler, but something to say for parents. And it's not like the Marvel movies are the types of films. I mean, any film could be, but that you after you watch it, you sit down with your child and say so. Let's talk about what this means to us, right? We didn't just show them Hotel Rwanda in class or Schindler's List or something like that. I mean, this is still a comic book movie.
The cutting edge.
That's right. That's right. But
you
I
forgot,
do think.
Didn't you? Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. Don't forget the cutting edge part two.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But I do think for maybe older children, it would be an interesting discussion to sit down with them and say, what do you think about the philosophy of Thanos? Some of the things that he says about, you know, the universe, and I'll just leave it at that. Like
yep.
his approach to why he's doing what he's doing, because he has a why. That's what makes him more interesting as a villain, is that he's not just wrecking stuff to wreck stuff. He has a definitive philosophy on how the galaxy should be.
And there's not a single moment that I looked at him and went, the CG is crap.
No, it's
easy.
Good.
It's easy to compare him to Steppenwolf. And every time you look at Steppenwolf, you're like, oh, this is a CG monster. That's what
yeah.
he should have been, was like, I'm just a movie monster that's coming to attack the planet.
Right.
They would have been much better with a Godzilla rubber suit at that point, right? But Thanos, you never.
My role.
Right. You never think of Thanos as, oh, he's CG, right?
Yeah,
you know, I'm like looking at the artistic aspect of it. There isn't a moment where I'm taken away from him. Like everything is on point when it comes to that particular character. And I think that lots of folks have this is his movie. I'll be honest with you. It takes quite a while to actually get to Thanos in the movie. When you have all these people like Kevin Feige telling you, oh, it's a Thanos movie. I'm like, it was like a good 45 minutes till we met our protagonist, right?
Right.
Other than he's coming. Thanos is coming.
Thanos is coming.
He's in the first 5 minutes, but like as far as his real plot is concerned, it's not a long. It's a long, but it's a long movie.
It is. Yeah, that's the other thing to keep in mind is that make sure you use the bathroom ahead of time.
So let's get to grumpy old man part because that's kind of why we're here.
Yes.
And I'll let you say this. I liked it. It is.
Do we need to take a break first?
Yes, but this is I did like the movie. I did.
Okay. Well, I did too.
But it's a downer. It's a downer film. But we'll get into the downer in just a second. And we're back. Okay. So let me cut to the chase here. I'll paint you another story. I got many stories today, Todd.
Excellent.
Do you remember going to the 1986 movie Transformers, the cartoon movie? Were you a big Transformers fan? Do you know where I'm going with this?
I know where you're going with this, but I know this is going to disappoint you a little bit. I have never actually seen.
Oh, okay. Okay, but you know, it doesn't matter.
I know the plot.
As long as you know what occurs.
Yeah.
So Hasbro had decided along the line that they had a brand new toy line that they wanted to show off for their big feature film. And they decided, I'm not sure totally logically or whatever, to kill off almost all of the Autobots that you had watched and repeatedly viewed for the last 2 to 3 years on Transformers TV. Within the first 20 minutes of the show, first 20 minutes of the movie, they kill off almost half of the Autobots, just that you had just like, oh my gosh, the entire time you're like, it's Ironhide, he's dead. It's Huffer, he's dead. It's Wheeljack, he's dead. I mean, it was incredibly traumatic for my eighth grade year. Like thinking, you just killed off all of my dreams, all of my hopes, all of my heroes are dead. And they kind of, and Optimus Prime dies. At the big crescendo, the climax of the movie is almost at the beginning of the movie, where Optimus Prime dies. And he has to pass off the Autobot Matrix to Ultra Magnus. It's a whole mess. At the end of the day, it's a very interesting movie. A lot of interesting choices were made. But when I left the theater, I was sad. I was very, very unhappy. And I couldn't believe that they had done this. It was like somebody had taken my toys out and said, sorry, pal, this toy is worthless, and just crushed it in front of my face, right? Like my Ratchet or my Trailblazer, right? They were going to ruin them, right? It's like a bully came along and just smashed them. That's how it felt. It felt very down. I didn't get it.
Okay.
This movie has the very similar tone to that. Without trying to get into spoilers, it has
Let me put a big hand up right here, which you can't see on a podcast.
I'm spoiling Transformers as a movie for you to try to not spoil this. But if I went into this as a kid today watching this movie, I would probably maybe walk out feeling the same way. Not, you know, as we talked philosophy earlier about the film, and it's a Thanos movie, understand that Thanos has got an agenda, and no one's going to get in the way of that agenda.
Correct. I'll agree with you there, and yeah. I had conversations with some of my students leading up to this because there's always rumors, right? There's rumors, there's speculations that some main character is going to get whacked, right?
Yep.
Some beloved character, not just secondary characters.
Yep.
Right? I just won't say that.
Yeah.
I'll just leave that there. And it's funny because I had a conversation with some students 2 days before I saw the film, and there was a fairly strong consensus that a certain character was going to die, and they actually didn't, which was sort of funny to me that that one character didn't.
Yeah.
Here's where it's interesting, and I would agree with you on some level, except that.
Well, we're talking kids here.
We're talking kids.
Okay?
We're talking
so
kids.
This is the grumpy old man part. I'm just saying, as a kid, when I walked out of Transformers the movie and saw this, all I could see was the atrocity. I couldn't see the plot. I couldn't see the movie. I kept on thinking to myself, they killed Optimus Prime. I cannot believe it.
Right.
And for the rest of the movie, I was just shell-shocked. Like,
so here is the here's where I go, and this is where I wonder about, and I don't know because I can't get inside the head of a kid that goes to see this movie. It's PG-13, which means that there's going to be kids going that are 7. You know there are parents that are bringing kids that are younger.
Yep.
To this, that they've probably seen all the Marvel movies, and they've seen Death already. But they've not seen, and I'll just, this is a borderline spoiler, they've not seen Death to this scale.
Yep.
Yeah, in the Marvel universe. As an adult, because it's a sequel, because there is a sequel coming.
This is the part one.
Yeah. My adult brain says, this is a business venture. This is not about making a statement about life, about the fact that life involves death and that life has tragedy. They're not trying to go Shakespearean on us.
Yeah, this is not an art. This is not an art house movie. This is leading up to probably the biggest part two we have ever seen in history.
In movies, yes.
And all they've done in this movie is built the biggest amount of anticipation that you could ever believe.
So my brain, and I'm guessing your brain, also says they're bringing people back.
Sure.
Especially because we are living vicariously in this universe where, as Mr. Ullstein again encouraged us or suggested to us, that when you watch these types of movies, in order to enjoy them, you have to suspend your disbelief. And so really everything is on the table in this universe. And I mean, you know that, particularly because it's a comic book. I mean, if we're missing a plot point, if we're missing a particular element, we just have to say, oh, yeah, well, we just discovered this on this planet. And then, bam, there it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we really can manufacture anything just really literally out of thin air.
So I'll give you an example. Going back to the kid thing, just
– okay, but let me finish this point.
Okay.
So I'm concluding that even though there is death and tragedy, people are coming back because there's more money to be made. Okay?
Yep.
In the meantime, though, you are left with some – pretty dark images, and you're going to have those dark images for the next year.
Yep.
And for a kid who is younger, I don't know how that sinks in. I don't know if in the moment, because in the moment they probably have sort of this, oh no, you know, moment. I mean, that is going to have an impact on them.
Yep.
And so as much as they might walk out of the movie and then they go back to school, and then their friends go, oh, there's another movie coming in the year, blah, 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 that sort of thing. In that moment, when you watch that, there's going to be probably some level of trauma. So,
let me give me just a quick example to kind of wrap this up for my 8-year-old who just recently watched Thor Ragnarok. She was ill-prepared for the scene in which Thor loses his eyeball. Okay? He loses his eyeball, and she's like, oh, she's shocked. However, and this goes back to Ullstein's class, too, where he talked about cheap special effects. It's like they intentionally kind of made that effect a little cheap in that Kayleen could actually see in like 5 minutes or a couple of shots later, she's like, oh, it's just makeup. I can actually see that he's got his eyes closed, right? Or his eye is closed or it's sealed somehow, but you can actually see it. Right? It's not this big old bloody gash of an eye that, you know, like this vacant slot that's missing, right?
Right.
And she's like, oh, and then she realized, oh, it's an actor, right? Right? This is all fake. It's not the real thing, right? The movie was giving Kayleen a little bit of an ease there, right? They could have made it a whole lot worse, made it this special effects extravaganza where there's a hole in Thor's head, right? It just didn't happen.
But you did say ill-prepared, so there probably was a moment for her where she sort of went, ugh.
She spent the next 4 minutes trying to justify it. She thought initially it had really happened. She thought, this is my 8-year-old. She thought it really happened.
Right.
And then she's like having this verbal It was great. It was. I wish I could have recorded it because it was this awesome dialogue that she had with us and herself where she's trying to investigate and figure it out, right?
Right.
And then at the end of it, she resolved that, oh, it's a movie, and I can actually see that his eye is closed, and it's just an effect, right? Like, she kind of worked it out. This movie that we watched, Infinity Wars, does not do that for you.
No.
It doesn't do that for you, and I would say for a kiddo of 8, because I thought I'd taken my girls to see this, there's no way.
Right.
Now, would I consider taking them to see part 2 with them, with part 1? Because I think at that point there is going to be some resolve.
Yes.
I think that you could probably watch part 1 with part 2 with a kiddo, because the part 2 will have that resolve that they need. This part 1 does not have that. And then in the end of the day, Kayleen would not be able to justify what occurred.
Right.
She would just go, they're dead. And there's nothing coming back. And I feel awful about myself.
Right. And the way that they die is, it's a little creepy.
Yes. And so there you go. I think that's it. I think that's our Avengers review for kids.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a warning to parents. Again, it's comic book. It's CGI. At the same time, you have to say there is – It is more Shakespearean in that it ends kind of tragically, and then bam, it's done.
And it's a good movie. It's something to chew on. There's lots to chew on. I'm going to go back and see it again for sure as soon as I can, because there's just a lot to see. So, and part 2, I just hope part 2 is not Return of the Jedi. Please. Please. I don't want Ewoks.
Of course there's going to be Ewoks. Of course there's going to be Ewoks. Ewoks? I mean, they had every other character. They're going to do a merge with Star Wars. Yes. Jar Jar Binks is going to appear. It's going to be fantastic. I would say to parents, think this one through before you bring your kids, because it's not happily ever after.
Thor's eyeball is gone. There is no resolve for it.
Yes. There you go. You can contact us at parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. We'd love to hear your suggestions. And, you can anticipate in a year we will be on our game and do – I don't even know if it has a title yet.
They don't have a title. They're very, very specific about it. They don't want to give it a title yet because of what is happening in this movie. Now I totally get it. Like, I know why they don't want to give it a title, right?
So. Yes. Anyway. So there you go. With that, we just end.